Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cluster B personality disorders are characterized by dramatic, overly emotional, and unpredictable thoughts and behavior. From Ars Longa Media, this is Cluster B, scientifically informed, expert insights into the four Cluster B personality types: antisocial, borderline, narcissistic, and histrionic personality disorder. Here's today's host, Dr. Todd Grande.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks if I can analyze a case that looks at a narcissist who snapped. So this is when somebody loses control, loses their composure, and acts out. Sometimes when we talk about this in the context of narcissism, it's referred to as an episode of narcissistic rage. So what does it mean to snap? Well, there's no official scientific definition that I'm aware of anyway for this. But for the purposes of this video, here's what it means to snap. When somebody suddenly manifests aggression that is different from their normal behavior. This kind of snapping I'm talking about with narcissism is not a behavior in response to aggression. For example, if somebody attempts to rob another person and that victim defends themselves, some people would say that the victim snapped. And yes, their behavior was out of the ordinary, but it was justified by the attempted robbery, and the force that they used was comparable to the force being used by the aggressor. What I'm talking about here is when a narcissist acts or responds in an inappropriate manner. The actions are not justified because of some threat or provocation. Now, people can snap for a variety of reasons. Why they snap comes down to a combination of stress and their personality. Narcissists are susceptible due to their personality structure, and they're also susceptible because they create stress through their behavior, right? They antagonize people. They cause difficulty for people. So really, their interpersonal relationship style makes the stress that then combines with their personality that leads them to snap. So before we get to the case report itself, I want to take a quick look at narcissism. With narcissism, we see characteristics like being self-centered, a sense of entitlement, and requiring admiration. And we also see two types of narcissism. On the grandiose side, we see those three characteristics. Those are common to all narcissists. But we also see somebody socially dominant, extroverted, arrogant, and resistant to criticism. And this resistance has limits, and that'll be reflected here in this case study. On the vulnerable side, of course, the common elements are there, but also shame, distrust, being introverted, being hypersensitive to criticism, and being resentful. Narcissistic rage can occur with either type of narcissism, but in this case study that I'll be reviewing here, the narcissist is more on the grandiose side. So now moving to this case study, this one is a little unusual compared to most of the case studies I've talked about. This one was presented to educate on legal liability issues. So the individuals presenting were attorneys. Specifically, they looked at how personality abnormalities can contribute to legal problems. We don't see a lot of case studies from counselors on topics like aggression because counselors tend to create case reports about clients who improved, right? And if people are snapping and assaulting other people, that's not consistent with improvement. So I really wouldn't expect a case study like this too often from the mental health counseling community. The presentation didn't really address the construct of narcissism in terms of treatment, like the mental health counseling or something similar, but rather it addressed the dynamics that narcissism introduces into work settings. So the case study had a lot of detail about the narcissistic behaviors and what happened because of those behaviors, but obviously nothing related to treatment outcomes. There's no indication that the narcissist in this case ever received treatment. This was really more about prevention. The moral of this case study was that employees and employers should be on the lookout for behavior that may lead to aggression, and not to treat these behaviors as isolated, but rather to view them as tendencies. So in this sense, again, it really was looking at personality. As always, with this case study, some of the information was changed to protect identities. This report starts with an individual who I will call Jim. Jim is in his early 60s, and he works for a manufacturer, and specifically at a site for this company that processes chemicals. So I'm picturing something like a particular site that works with these chemicals and then sends them to another site where they're used in the manufacturing process. So Jim is in a management position. So his job here is to oversee about 20 to 25 skilled laborers and supervisors. So he's actually pretty high up the ladder for the site where he is. Now, before any drastic incident occurred, we see that he has a history at this company. Like, he's well known to the people who work at this company for his behaviors that get him in trouble. Jim's manager indicated that Jim was condescending, pretentious, deceptive, took credit for other people's work, played favorites, and was vindictive. His manager also reported that Jim had attributes that were helpful, like he was extremely confident, he was driven to succeed, and he had a lot of energy and enthusiasm. When customers would visit the plant, Jim could appear to be very competent, especially if his interaction with them was limited to just a few minutes. So we can never know for sure because Jim was not assessed by a clinician, but it seems fairly likely that he was narcissistic. Now, a few of his subordinates had complained about Jim from time to time, but management always allowed Jim to negotiate his own resolution with those employees. So we already see a number of problems. The management at this company is taking a risk for really a marginal benefit. They're not taking employee complaints seriously, and it appears they don't understand the nature of narcissism. So this brings me to Jim's interaction with a female employee. I will refer to her as Marie. So Jim had made it clear that he believes some of the shifts available at the plant and some of the positions were better suited for men. So we see that Jim was discriminating here. Not long after he made this clear, we see that Marie's work hours were changed, so she now had to work Saturday. So she was put on a shift that Jim thought was more appropriate for a female worker. Now, two other skilled laborers, who were both men, who were less qualified than Marie, were promoted to supervisory positions as well. So we see a few different levels of discrimination here based on gender. Not long after this, Marie complained about Jim's behavior to management, and she insisted they investigate as opposed to her working something out with Jim, which again was what the company had allowed to happen before. Management determined that they could understand Marie's point of view, and it did look like Jim had been discriminatory. They restored her work schedule to what it was before, and they offered her promotion to supervisor in another department. This was something she agreed to, and from her point of view, this seemed reasonable. For one thing, it got her away from Jim, and I think that was probably something that was important to her at this point. So Jim claimed to other employees after this happened, after management moved Marie, that he was happy to get rid of her. She was never a good worker anyway. And he went to her new supervisor, I'll call him Fred, and Jim told Fred that he should be careful how much responsibility he gives to Marie. She was dangerously unqualified, and that she was known to walk off the site with company property. So Jim accused Marie of stealing to her new supervisor. Now, this behavior, Jim going to Fred and complaining, this is known as retaliation, and it's very common for narcissists in work settings. Interestingly, in this case, Fred not only reported this behavior to Marie, but he reported it to management. It seems like he believed this was unacceptable, and he also felt like a victim in this process because Jim was trying to drag him into this violation of employment law. So management once again investigated and found that Jim's behavior was not appropriate. They apologized to Marie and Fred and assured Marie that her standing as a supervisor would not be effective in a negative way, and evidently this again was acceptable to Marie, and evidently this was acceptable to Fred as well.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support, Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Bravery Academy. My name is Emma Ferris and I'm your host. This podcast is crafted to share the stories of courageous individuals who have overcome adversity and found the courage to live their best lives. We'll explore the science of well-being, courage and connection, and interview top thought leaders, game changers and survivors. And it's from these stories that we learn what resilience is, how to heal, how to recover, and how to be brave.
So here's what we have so far. Jim has violated all these employment laws, and it appears as though management to some extent, but perhaps reluctantly, has protected the victims. However, they really haven't done anything adverse to Jim. They haven't done anything to fix the cause of the problem. This is the exact argument that Fred took forward to management. So even though he initially agreed with what they had determined and what they were going to do, he decided not long after that that he really wanted something done about Jim's behavior. He wanted management to take action that would discourage this type of behavior in the future from Jim and from anybody else who would think about doing it. So this brings us close to the event that led to the rage. We see that one of the higher level managers, so a person at another site, was particularly frustrated by this whole situation, how this kept causing new problems for the company. So at a meeting, again, at a different location, we see about 10 to 15 employees were there. And at this meeting, this higher level manager told Jim, Marie, and Fred to stop behaving in a nonsensical way. So I picture him saying something like, just stop all this nonsense and get back to work. So essentially, he spread the blame across the victims and the perpetrator, and he did so in front of other people. This was a disastrously foolish move on the part of this higher level manager. However, this is remarkably common. From the point of view of this manager, he was just seeing a lot of disagreement and relational problems. He wasn't seeing one person as the cause of the difficulty and other people as victims. Narcissism exposure in work settings is not as clear as other offenses to other people who do not understand narcissism. So if Jim had stolen Fred's car, or if he had refused to pay Marie for work that she did, that's very clear, right? People would understand that one person's the perpetrator and another is the victim. But interpersonal dealings that involve false accusations, defamation, and making unkind comments come across as subtle from the perspective of management. They just look at it like, here are a bunch of people that can't seem to get along, right? That's how they view things like this. They don't, again, understand how personality actually functions. So either way, this event, being insulted by this higher level manager in front of these other workers, this was something that was extremely embarrassing to Jim, and it was something he could not tolerate, which I actually find fairly interesting because he could have viewed this as a victory. Remember, he was the one that was guilty. He was the one that broke the law. And yet his victims were getting grouped together in the same category as he was. But evidently, the logic of this argument escaped him or never occurred to him. And we see his resistance to criticism was not strong enough. I talked about that as one of the characteristics of a grandiose narcissist, resistance to criticism. But again, it has limits. This is the moment when Jim snapped. This is when we see the sudden aggression. Not long after this meeting, the workday was over, Jim followed Fred out of the plant. They were both driving their own vehicles. And again, this was a different site. So Jim signals to Fred to pull over, and Fred pulls into a gas station. This isn't smart, but because they're a different site, I'm thinking maybe Fred believed that Jim was lost and was just signaling him to say, hey, I need to know where to go. It's hard to imagine that happening in this day and age with GPS being widely available. But it does seem like this case study was from maybe about 10 to 15 years ago. So not every phone had GPS back then. That's possible. But either way, he pulls into this gas station. Jim comes up to him and demands that Fred write a letter to upper management, taking responsibility for the whole mess with Fred and Marie. Again, not even acknowledging that he was at fault, that Jim was at fault. Fred refuses, and Jim assaults Fred. Evidently, Jim didn't have a weapon, but he punched Fred several times, and Fred sustained minor injuries. As Jim was walking away from this crime back to his car, he loudly accused Fred of striking him first. So I picture a situation where maybe there were some onlookers, and they were like amazed at what happened here, and Jim's walking away and saying, oh, you know, this guy punched me, right? So either way, Jim gets in his car, and he drives off. Now, the police arrive shortly thereafter, And of course, he was gone by then, but eventually they catch up to Jim at his house. When the police confronted Jim, he told them that he was glad that they were there. He tried to call them, but couldn't get through. He wanted to report that a man named Fred had attacked him. When both stories were checked out by the police, of course, Fred's story was the only one that lined up with the evidence. Jim was charged for the assault and for a few other crimes related to that. And he was allowed to plead eventually to misdemeanor assault, right? So it never went to trial. He was also fired from the employer. So some interesting points here. Jim had a long history of breaking the law and violating boundaries, yet those in a position to do something about his behavior didn't feel like it was important to take action. Jim had essentially gotten away with his bad acts, but it was the insult that was too much for him to handle, like in this particular case. So he was being blamed, but so were the victims, and he was insulted. He could have just, again, walked away, but that was too much. Even right after his moment of rage, we see he made a false accusation against the victim. This is very common for a narcissist. When the police came out, he stuck with that same story, also common. At no point do we see someone here who is willing to take responsibility for anything that he did. And I think this is a very important takeaway from this case study. People who are not narcissistic do things that are wrong, just like people who are narcissistic do things that are wrong. But often people who are not narcissistic are willing to take at least some responsibility for their actions. Narcissists don't concede anything. There is never a retreat, gradual or otherwise. Rather, there's a collapse. And this is when we see the aggression. This is when they snap. The narcissist snaps when the narcissism is not strong enough. Narcissism typically doesn't fail in stages. It fails catastrophically. If Jim's narcissism was strong enough, he could have walked away from that meeting where he was insulted and said to himself, management really wasn't talking about me. They're really talking about Fred and Marie. So essentially, he could have lied to himself. One could make the argument that when narcissism does fail in stages and not catastrophically, that means the narcissist has a chance of improving. They can improve how they relate to people. But again, that's not what happened here. Now, the last takeaway here in this case study, one of the challenges with this idea that people can snap is that it's difficult to predict when it could happen. We see in this scenario, of course, Fred should have never stopped his car. He should have never got out of his car, but he didn't understand narcissism. And it would seem the people involved with this company, the people that worked at this company, we see that no one really understands narcissism in this situation. And this is what I see a lot. People in these situations where there's clear narcissistic behavior and a clear warning that something aggressive could occur, that a crime could occur, and nobody really understands what to call it. They can name all these different descriptions that match with narcissism, but they don't know that it's a construct that's been studied a lot and that there's a lot of information available about it. And that, in fact, if they were aware of what narcissism looked like, they could prevent a lot of the things that happen as a result of it. Not just the aggression, but all the other bad behaviors that happen as well. So this is another case study that emphasizes the importance of workplace education on narcissism.
For more content like this, check out Healthy Toxic, another podcast from Ars Longa Media, all about what makes or breaks relationships, including issues related to narcissism, narcissistic abuse, and how personality disorders affect relationships. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis. Learn more at arslonga.media.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence. And give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.